T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're gonna play on and stand strong with Drolo and Dibs. Turn the game on, bump up the volume. It's time to play ball with Drolo and Dibs. Turn the game on.
Good morning, happy Wednesday, and welcome to Drolo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. We are back in the Bay Area. Had a wonderful time in Las Vegas, Nevada. Loniel making his way into the show right now. Boy, you are just right back in your comfort zone, are you not?
Didn't miss a beat,
absolutely,
did he?
Man.
Did you think
coming
he would not
home,
be called out
yeah,
on that?
Yeah, I was coming. What? You just called me in and I just... No whistle. Can't do it.
Definite whistle.
Can't blow
no
it.
No headset. You weren't on the field for kickoff, Coach. Just because you came sprinting off the sideline and tried to throw a block as the return man crossed the 40, you know,
yeah,
you still can throw a fly.
Really? You're gonna throw it? You can throw it, but you know that I was here. So it's good.
I'm throwing it out of jealousy.
Okay.
The main reason, and we're going to get to this throughout the course of the show, we are going to bring you into the show. Ike's is going to be opening a location in Fresno.
Fresburg!
They want to name a sandwich after Lowe. We need to figure out, A, what kind of sandwich it's going to be, and B, what it should be named.
Oh,
we're
going
to put it out to the people.
Oh,
and we decided this morning we'll probably get like a Fresno State helmet and have Lowe sign it to give away to anyone who comes up with something we use. So we might use a name. We might use a sandwich. If we do, you will be rewarded. More details on that later today. But it's a big show.
Oh, my God.
Between that and the Moonbase 8 News, a huge show.
It's huge. It's going to be low-centric, and those are always my favorite shows. I already have my head swimming with sandwich ideas, names, toppings, but we'll ease our way into on this one.
This could be a lot of fun. It's going to be funny, and I know I'm going to get beat up about this this sandwich thing.
No. I have a must-have item later I need to share.
Oh, my God.
Awesome.
So, yeah. See, it's just going to be a ride today.
I will give you a little sample of what's to come because I threw this out on Twitter. Just the tip of the conversation. There are a lot of people advocating for a sandwich made of soup.
What?
Now, I'm not sure if Ike could pull something like that off.
Thank you.
But Twitter was very adamant that they're not necessarily aiming for a sandwich. They want the sandwich to be made of soup in honor of you and Guy Fieri talking about soup at a tailgate.
What's some of the things you would do maybe of a soup if it's okay for a tailgate? That's so messed up.
Sometime around 6:50, 6:55, we're going to get into that for the first time today. We'll put it out to the people. But
that's like just saying, I mean, just using that line, guys, that's like saying, oh, my God, like, shoot me. That just how you guys play that drop, that's what it's like. And people could be taken at, oh, you won't even shoot. No, it's a figure of speech. The way you guys lay that drop out, I have no chance, Dibs.
What kind of soup would you serve at a tailgate? A new figure of speech.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an expression. And tailgates are changing across America.
You can't find Letterman using that sometime soon.
Look how you
Netflix
just did
show.
That. Look how you just turned that to. Interesting.
Here's a great suggestion. All right. Please. Tuna with no bread. Just a pile of tuna for you to lick. Which, out of context, might sound bizarre.
Very bizarre.
Did happen in studio. I'm going to reel it back in. I'm going to reel the whole thing back in. We begin today with this.
The turn, and here it is, and swung on and tapped up the first baseline, rolling, it's a fair ball, and Luke Roy doesn't tag the runner, now bobbles it, now throws to first, and throws it down the right field line, and the Astros have won the game. Do you believe that? Tucker has scored on a bizarre play, and the Astros win 6-5 in the 11th. It was a little dribbler, and initially the ball had trickled off foul, but then it rolled, it took a little left turn, it was right on the chalk. And then Luke Roy was trying to tag the runner, Bregman, who was just to the right of home plate, just slightly up the line. And Jonathan trying to tag him, and Bregman eluding that tag. And then Jonathan, the only play he had at that point was to throw the ball to first base and get the out there. And the ball went by Marcana and went down the right field line. That meant that Tucker scored, and the Astros have a 6-5 win.
God bless Ken Korak, because full disclosure, I had no desire to try to lay all of that out this morning. You have to watch the play for yourself. Bottom of the 11th inning, the A's down 4-0 in the ninth in Houston against the defending World Series champions. Storm back to tie it. They take the lead in the top of the 11th as Stephen Piscotty hits a home run in his fourth consecutive game. But the 5-4 lead wasn't held. They blew it in the bottom of the 11th. It was a bizarre play that ended the game. Korak just laid the whole thing out for you there. We got the Bay Bridge Series coming this weekend. It is going to be monstrous. We've got a lot of baseball to get to today, but last night's game, you ever seen anything like that before?
No, you don't see a 5-foot walk-off very often, especially when the ball is clearly going foul, but there's so much spin on it, it curls all the way back. Then the batter who becomes the runner plays dodgeball with the catcher who loses it, squirts out of his hand. So you don't see that. And even after all that happens, Lucroy's got the ball, and he's got plenty of time to step and make a throw to make all of what happened moot, and he throws it off the side of his helmet.
I can only imagine what's going through his head. You've come all the way back, so there's a lot of emotion. There's a lot of excitement going into that game. They had won 17 of 21, now 17 of 22. The ball bounces fair, it looks, bounces foul, comes fair. He's trying to make a play. He goes to tag the Bregman. The ball gets dropped. It bounces off the ump. Now suddenly there's panic. You know there's panic.
Yes,
no matter
exactly
who you are as a human being, you're going to feel that moment. You try to gather yourself. You're trying to throw around Bregman to first, and it just gets away from you. It's a disastrous ending to what was otherwise a phenomenal game and which should not take any of the shine off of a streak of 22 games in which they've won 17.
Amazing.
They're cooking.
It's sort of like Ruben Studdard, Dibs. It's like I dropped the ball. It's like I missed a shot. Damn, I'm sorry. I mean,
look at you.
You know,
shout out American Idol.
Ruben Studdard. Oh, maybe your sandwich could be the Lobin.
Oh. Well,
it's not very good.
That one, give me the
not
boot
very
track.
Good.
Give
mm-hmm.
me the
yeah,
boot track. That was weak.
It didn't even feel good when I said it.
I know, but it happens. I get down that rabbit hole a lot, Joe, often.
No.
I tried to bail you out. But anywho, that's the one where you get it. You take the deep breath. You made one error. The guy jumped out of the way. So and then you start to panic. Okay, you take that deep breath. Okay, boom. And then let the ball go. Instead, you rush it. The ball's out of control, and it goes. But it's just interesting. Yesterday, you had a call. The day before yesterday, you had a call with San Francisco.
Alan Hansen. I know where you're going here.
And you listen at both these calls and watch how one's just the way that is explained. And both of these guys are legends in their professions. But if you could listen to both these Dibs, and you talk about just a guy, control, pace. I'm like, wow, listening to that call, how he laid it out. Unbelievable.
Think about what we've seen in back-to-back nights.
Yes.
Alan Hansen scores from first base on a throwing error, and the A's come back from 4-0 down, take the lead in the 11th, and lose it on what Dibs is calling a walk-off five-footer.
Yeah, the five-footer. And I don't know if we've yet seen the exit velocity on that batted ball, but it's got to be somewhere in the low teens because he didn't exactly smoke it in the ground.
What was the launch angle? Did anyone get the launch angle on that Bregman shot last night?
Which one more likely did you think that a score is going to be, run's going to be brought in? From what you saw the other night.
Bregman and Lucroy.
Yeah.
I would say last night, as bizarre as that was,
that's more the
errant throw, I can wrap my head around that more than the Cubs being so lazy trying to get over to that ball. Hansen scoring from first never should have happened, which someone did the math on this. At his peak sprint speed, he was at 29 mile an hour. If you translate that to 100 meters, he would have run the 100-meter dash in just over 11 seconds.
That's cooking.
Just over 11 seconds. The Olympic record is like, what, 9.7?
Oh, 11. I was running that, though, Joe. 100 meters?
You were a pro athlete. That's a phenomenal number. That's what I'm saying.
It's awesome.
As you're rounding bases, because you don't get the straight line for very long.
That's true.
To get to your peak speed of 29 mile an hour on that play, and to run a 100-meter dash in just over 11 seconds, that is a remarkable feat. You doing it, this is the rare moment where you get your back slapped on the show.
But I was just as high score. I ran 11.4 100 meters. And that's that.
11.4. Okay.
But that's barely. Yeah, I mean.
No, that's great. I'm not trying to demean
it.
11.4.
It did nothing, JoJo.
You weren't playing the Cubs or, this is just high school. Probably six people in the stands. No big deal. So, not facing pressure. Not trying to win a baseball game.
Lamar, track is huge. Tommy Smith. We had a lot of great, track runners.
What have you done for me in the last 70 years?
It's a big dual meet against Hanford on that April afternoon.
Anywho, good point.
Thank you.
Sorry, good point.
Wow.
I don't know where that went. I don't know how that happened.
You did it because we were talking about Hanson and you turned it into your 100-meter dash
in
high
true.
School.
That is true.
That's how we got there.
We didn't talk about me running the 100 in high school in 16 flat.
I was trying to say that that's
in
not...
In your 50 years on Earth, have you ever covered 100 meters consecutively at one time?
Coach, I ran 50 miles. So before we totally eviscerate my character as a weekend warrior athlete, let's keep that just a little bit in check.
I was just trying... I wasn't bragging. I was saying it really was not that fast because I came in like fourth place.
But that's still fast. But you're an all-world athlete. It is fast. It's very fast. If he had done it in 15 seconds, that would be slow.
Yeah.
I still think that's very fast.
It's okay. It's
how did we get into this?
I don't know. I was just trying to make a point.
Because we were talking about the unlikelihood of each play. And I think the Bregman is more of a
I love doing this.
More of a likely play than a guy scoring from first on a pickoff throw gone
awry. You agree?
Yes, I do.
It's a tough beat. If you're Bo Mel, you got two more with the Astros before the Bay Bridge series. Now, that's a huge disadvantage for the A's because they've got a road game today. And then a road game tomorrow. They're going to play a day game in Houston tomorrow and then travel all the way back to the Bay for the Friday, Saturday, Sunday first half finale against the Giants. Meanwhile, the Giants will conclude their series with the Cubbies today, have tomorrow off, and then get ready with a day of rest for the A series. We'll get into all that in a few minutes, a full breakdown with all the topics of conversation that you could ask for. But how does Bo Mel rally the troops today, Lo, knowing that you came all the way back from 4-0 down, took a 5-4 lead in the 11th, this is your division rival, this is the best team in baseball, coming off a World Series win, you had it, you blew it, it happens. How do you mentally put all that behind you for today?
You get guys that start to chant in the locker room, I believe that we can win, I believe. I mean, you think about what they've been able to do, they had that game. You know, an untimely error cost them the game. They know that they battled. They know that they can play with this team. I'm telling you, when you're playing in battles, games like this, and you know that you're not just overmatched or an overgunned, it gives you confidence. I mean, it gives you swagger. And Bo Mel needs to say, guys, we let one get away. Yeah, we battled. We fought to get back. And then, you know what? We came up a little short. But guys, now, this A's team, they believe they can beat anyone. When they're on, this A's team, regardless of the inconsistency at pitchers, regardless of going through 12 different starting pitchers in different rotations, different spots, this team is, when they're on, they can play with anyone. And I think Bo Mel doesn't have to tell them much. I think they actually believe that they can beat anyone as well.
Biggest Bay Bridge series since when? Coming up next, Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
It's like I missed a shot. It's like I dropped the ball.
Is this Ruben Sutter?
I'm sorry.
It's like I'm on stage. It's a great pull.
Is it?
Nice guy Steven was two when Ruben Sutter won American Idol.
No tools.
Let it go.
It's like trying to propose. And I forgot the ring.
Yeah, I get it.
I'm sorry. But girl, I've apologized 1,000,000 times before. I've apologized 1,000,000 times. But here I am again for all the wrong I've done.
This has an ending eventually, right? Or do we just take this to the next break?
This is my story for 2004, and I ain't gonna mess up no more.
All right, Sandwich Boy, we gotta get into the content here. Bring this down a little bit. It's very nice, though.
Very good.
Very lovely. If we could just do that for 3.5 more hours, I'd let it go. I'd go get some coffee. I'd let that happen.
Man, karaoke day coming up next.
Yeah,
next never.
Whoa. Why you set me up like that?
Why you step on my line?
Can't imagine.
I was about to bring that home.
You know, he missed the ball. You know, it was like he missed a shot. It was tying it back into the A's. Great job back there, guys.
And Lucroy is sorry. He took credit or took blame, actually, for the error after the game. So
it happens. They're cooking. It happens. If that's the biggest problem for the A's this season, so be it with the way they've been performing. 51 wins on the year. 51 wins. Now, somehow they still find themselves, what is it, 9 out? 10. 10 after last night. 51-41. They've won 55% of their games and they're 10 out. It happens. The Giants, conversely, are playing 2 games above 500 and are right in the thick of it. It happens. That's life. The only thing you can do on a day-to-day basis is go out and try to make it happen. You can hope the Mariners lose, and you can hope the Astros lose, but the reality is just keep grinding. There is a wild card spot there is a possibility. You've got two more with Houston. You've got the Giants this weekend, and then you're on your break. Shout out Jed Lowry being named to the All-Star team.
Oh, yeah.
A wrong has been corrected. All is right in the world. Two more with Houston, and then Friday it starts. The Bay Bridge Series, this year's version, 2018, in San Francisco. Now, the Giants will have one big advantage. They are off Thursday. So they're playing against the Cubs today. They have tomorrow off, and then they can get ready for the series. Meanwhile, the A's have to play on Thursday and then travel all the way back. I'm interested in two things. One, how big does the fan base think this series is compared to years past? And two, how do you want to see the pitching matchups take shape? It already looks like the A's know how they're going to set their rotation for Friday, Edwin Jackson, Saturday, Brett Anderson, and Sunday, Sean Manaea. The question is how the Giants set their rotation. Looks like it's going to be Johnny Cueto today after getting pushed back yesterday. That would take him out of the equation for this weekend. You could trot Derek Rodriguez out there Friday. You could trot Bumgarner out there on Sunday. You could even bump him up to Saturday if you'd want. Samardzija looks like he's going to be in play. Andy Suarez could be in play for late in the series after having pitched on Monday. I don't know how Boch is going to want to do it. Any ideas from you, Dibs?
Yeah, I think it just comes down to which of the young pitchers you want to get one more start before the break. It's either Derek Rodriguez stays on turn, or you bump everyone up a day, and then Andy Suarez would get the Sunday game. So you could go Rodriguez, Samardzija, Bumgarner, or you could go Samardzija, Bumgarner, Suarez, in my opinion, depending on the availability of Jeff Samardzija and how ready he would be if you were able to bump him up a day, and then you'd have Andy Suarez in the back end. For me, if you were going to try to put your three best out there, it would be Rodriguez, Bumgarner, and Suarez. But you know Bruce Bochy likes to default to the veterans, and they really want Jeff Samardzija to have an opportunity to earn his spot, so I don't see them skipping him.
Samardzija, against his former team, getting lit up, does not play well coming off that All-Star break, especially with Derek Holland throwing yet another gem last night, making his case for a spot in the rotation. Your thoughts on the mess?
I look at this game, Joe. This is the Battle of the Bay. I mean, you look at both these skippers. You don't think that they're going to sit here. Of course, they know they got games, but they want to win this series. It's bragging rights. Guys are talking about it. Hell, they're talking about it now. This is not something you say, okay, just wait till that game. No. You start to get your juices flowing. You understand what's at stake. Guys bump into one another in the offseason. This is that Oakland, San Francisco. They get to get on. They get to get it on. I'm excited about this. And you definitely got to pitch Madison. You definitely want to put your best foot forward. Both these ball clubs do, and both these clubs want to win this series. So I think this is going to be a sold out crowd. Of course, you know that. Tickets are going to be freaking at a premium. You're going to get to see a very, very competitive matchup. And both these teams right now are, you know, looks like the A's have been playing more consistent. But you know the Giants, they're going to play big when they're playing against the A's.
Both are in the playoff hunt, and the last thing you want going into the break is a losing series. Now, you drop two or three, it happens. It's got to happen to somebody. You get swept, that's a completely different story. You've got to be able to avoid that. Bumgarner, Manaea could be the marquee matchup. That could be set for Sunday. It looks like Manaea is already going to take the mound on Sunday. Bumgarner, if on turn, would go Sunday, although available Saturday if they would need him. So we'll see how that plays out. But if you're the A's, do you think you're coming into this with more pressure than the Giants? Because you've had such a tremendous first half, but despite all the success, you still find yourself 10 games out as of today. The last thing you would probably want going into the break is to give up a couple more games, to lose to the crosstown rival, and then with the trade deadline looming, have the rumors start up about what might happen to All-Star Jed Lowry.
That's true, and I think that there's pressure on both, but honestly, I believe that there's more pressure on the Giants because the Giants have to be in a situation where they can prove it to themselves in the front office that they truly are in it and that these pieces that are coming back, i.e. Jeff Samardzija, are going to be good enough to sustain this push into the playoffs. I think the A's see the season deep down. If you gave them the sodium pentothal, the lie detector, and you asked them honestly, they would say, you know what, this year is kind of the freebie year. It's all really building up for next year when this young core has more experience and we're more poised and ready to really compete. Everything they do this year is icing on the cake, short of them having an unbelievable run and them getting in the playoffs. They can win 88 games and still miss out on the wild card and count themselves as a successful year.
Got to get past Seattle. Once you get past Seattle, then you can start thinking wild card, because the wild card will not come from the Central this year. The A's in third place in the West have a better record than the division leader in the Central.
And that's why the A's, to me, that's why they're going to win this series. If you said who's winning this series, you had, I would go all A's. Not a sweep, but here's you got to look at stake. The A's are looking, they're looking and saying, we're eight games over, look where we're at, and that team over there, the Giants, look where they're at. Let's go show them. Let's make that statement. If we were playing there in that division right now, what would be? I think the A's, they want to. This is a statement series. I think when you look at it, what's going on, both these two historic franchises, I really believe you're going to see an A's team that really, really want this. I know the Giants want to win it, but I think the A's, the message is, let's go crush them to show, hey, look, we're just having to be playing in a tougher division this year.
There's probably no better way to put an exclamation point on such a remarkable first half than to win the series against the Giants going into the break. For the Giants to lose the series, what's the worst case scenario? You find yourself four out at the break. That's a win for them. For the A's, you could find yourself 12 over and still be 10 out. That's the problem. So you don't want to go in and lose the series, give up ground, and have that hanging over your head for a week, knowing that when you come off the break, you're going to face him yet again.
Yeah, and you know that the big Bay Bridge trophy that they now have for this series is at stake, and so you want to make sure you fill your trophy case with that hardware.
That thing's like, what, 30 pounds, I think someone said?
It's massive. It's seriously like an anvil from the old Roadrunner cartoons.
They're the whipping boys in Major League Baseball. I mean, that's how they're looked at the franchise. You guys got to be real. Lowest pay, one of the lowest paid salaries, all the different things that surround them. These guys, it's personal. And they just so happen they've caught lightning in the bottle, and they're out there right now trying to make a statement. So I think this is going to be an interesting series.
There is a new addition to the Golden State Warriors family, but as one comes in, two depart. Interesting news coming up next. Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lo and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
All right, mark it down. Your first shot at glory in about 18 minutes at 6:50. If you are just tuning in, yesterday, the legendary Ike of Ike Sandwiches on Twitter announced that he is going to open a location in Fresno. He wants to name a sandwich after Lowe. We need your help with two things. One, what should that sandwich be? A soup sandwich, perhaps? Two,
oh boy,
what should it be called? Sure, we can go with the Lorenzo Neal. I think that's a beautiful option. But the people could come up with something more creative. And I think what we're going to do is get a Fresno State football helmet and have Lowe sign it. And if someone's able to deliver either the sandwich or the name, something that we would use in the creation of this fine piece of art, we will send that to you as a prize. Are you up for something like that?
Absolutely, Joe. And I'm thinking of some names as well, because I might win it and have to sign my own helmet and keep it myself, because I think that when everyone makes the vote, I got some pretty hot takes. You know that. So I got some good topics, Joe, for you for sandwiches.
First opportunity today to pull that off is going to be in about 17 minutes at 6:50. For right now. One in, two out. The Golden State Warriors. Damian Lee has been signed to a two-way contract with the Dubs, according to Chris Haynes of ESPN. Now, Lee played 38 games with Santa Cruz last season. He turns 26 years old in October. He signed a couple 10-day contracts with the Atlanta Hawks and eventually settled in with Atlanta last season, averaging 10.7 points, 4.7 rebounds, and 1.9 assists over 15 games, 11 of which he started. What makes the story interesting is that Damian Lee is Steph Curry's future brother-in-law. Lee is currently engaged to Steph's sister, Seidel. I would imagine this is going to lead to some interesting conversations in the locker room.
You would think maybe, but then again, Steph has got to be somewhat untouchable for his teammates. He's not a big trash talker. He's a guy who mostly keeps to himself. Do you really want to come down Steph's road? I mean, is that the way pro athletes are, Lo? Don't they respect each other's space and in this sphere?
Oh, but you get to say brother. Hey, bro, what's up, brother? I mean, it's
how you doing? Just always smiling.
A smiley Jack, and you know he's going to bail you out. You know that you're going to get a nice house. You know, even if you don't make it, you're good because you're in a pretty good family. Not going to let the daughter. That's one thing. If you're a daughter and you got the money, you're pretty good, because even if you get married, you know, daddy or mom, that family, that with that family, dad's got money. Both brothers got pretty good paper. Sis ain't living in an outhouse. So
this is a breakdown.
This is some real analysis here.
I'm keeping
it
real, though.
I love
it. You know what I'm saying? And they think that way. And here's a guy that's going to work hard. He's going to do all the right things with Steph. He's probably in his pocket all the time. Help me. Let's go shoot. Let's go play. Steph wants his brother-in-law. If you're going to marry my sister, I want you to be successful. So you think they're not practicing together, doing a bunch of different things together, helping one another out? Without a doubt, Steph's trying to give this young man all the tools he can to help this guy have a mainstay, be able to take care of his sister.
Do you think it helps or hurts his chances with the Warriors, his relationship to Steph? Because on one hand, you could argue it's what got him on the radar with the Warriors. Maybe Steph's in there advocating for him. Maybe it helped with the opportunity. A little, you know, bizarro nepotism to an extent. Or it hurts because people look at him and say, you wouldn't be here if not for Steph. Things of that nature. I'm not sure how this gets sliced. In a locker room like this, you would assume it works out relatively favorably. But I don't know. You know the dynamics better than I would.
I think it goes two ways. One is...
like a two-way contract.
Yeah, pretty much. Because he's going to be able to... go ahead, finish it up.
Big show so far today.
Yeah. That's great. You brought that home. You brought that home real nice. I think it goes two ways to what Lo is saying. If he plays well, then it's a positive and no one cares and it's all good. But if you become a distraction or if you become somewhat of a guy prone to outbursts, then it's going to be a problem. But he doesn't strike me as the player who's going to give you outbursts. And that team, really outside of Draymond Green, who... Draymond is Draymond. He's basically untouchable when it comes to that because he plays harder than anyone. So other than him, you don't have anybody really acting out, acting a fool.
I tell Lo all the time, I said, is his name's going to give him a shot in the league and it's going to be his ability to stay in the league.
That's great advice because you actually are dealing with this firsthand. Where's he ranked right now? We talked about this in Vegas. 18th on the defensive lineman watch list heading into the season.
Right.
Little O'Neal at Purdue University.
Yeah, so... you know, I told him, I said, that means there's 17 guys in front of you. I said, you know, what does that? He said, what does that mean? I said, it means that you're not drafted. That means that you're right now, you're a camp body. You know, if you look at two guys per round, you think about or one or two guys per round, most of the time you're not going to necessarily take the three technique. You're not going to get two guys at the nose guard position per round. So if you did get two per round, you know, the 20 guys and it's not 10 rounds. So you got to realize he's going to be a camp body right now.
Even if it's three around, that still puts him in the sixth or seventh. That's not where you want to be.
No, absolutely not. So I said, you know what? You need to be in the top five. You need to finish in the top five, and then you need to come in as your senior year, you know, top three defensive linemen in the country. If that's what you really aspire to do, I said, it's time to pick it up. So I said, you're a long ways from that. I said, because some of these guys are juniors, some of them are seniors, some are even sophomores. So you haven't done nothing yet, son. So it's great that they know who you are. And that's just with Steph. Steph, everyone knows who Steph is. So because he's, you know, Steph's brother, future brother-in-law, that probably got him on the team. But his ability, and he's got to stick, and that's even going to be harder because now he's going to have to step up, and that's going to be his stand power. Steph's not going to keep him on the team. He's going to have to do that. And that's just with Lo and everyone and a lot of people that have been privileged or had the opportunity, whether you have your son, he decides to get in radio one day because maybe the name, certain things can help at least get an interview, get you in the door. But then you got to work like hell to stay there. And that's where I think this young man's at.
Chubbs and I will do a show together one day, like LeBron playing with his son.
Exactly.
It'll be very similar.
It'll be awesome.
Very similar.
A little easier to do that in radio than it is the NBA, you know, where you can broadcast till you're 70. You know, believe me, I'm trying to get there.
There's no real retirement age. It's just a firing age.
Yeah, basically. Well, yeah, and that can be 40, 45, 50, whatever. Pick a year, and I probably got fired. But I digest. Damian Lee, coach, 10.7 a game for Atlanta last year, almost 5 rebounds a game in 11 starts. He played 15 games, so he does have somewhat of a body of work already. So it's not like he comes in on straight team coattails. He's a guy with some gravitas. He's got a few pelts on the wall. He's shown that he can be an NBA player, but now it's, can you be a key contributor on a team where you know Kerr's going to play 10, 11 guys a night? It's what he does. Can you come in and be a part of that 10, 11-man rotation?
Speaking of Atlanta, you see what this slickster Travis Schlenk is doing to the Warriors yet again? Travis Schlenk, former Warrior assistant general manager, now Hawks general manager, just picked off Chelsea Lane. Chelsea Lane was the team's top doctor last year. She is heading to Atlanta to become the executive director of athletic performance and sports medicine. Michael Thompson, Clay's father, heard the news yesterday, takes to Twitter, quote, "Sad to see Chelsea Lane leave the Dubs. Atlanta is getting a good one. She is great at her job. Worked a miracle on Clay's ankle in the finals. She deserves a video tribute when she returns to Oracle with the Hawks. Top team doctor gone, as well as Ralph Walker, the director of team security, the individual who was kind of tasked with keeping the eye on Steph Curry, he's decided he is going to retire to spend more time with family. Damian Lee in, Chelsea Lane and Ralph Walker out."
One in, two out. And that's just what happens with all parts of a team as it evolves through a successful run, a dynasty or whatnot. You think about the Giants' years and their roster changed each and every time they went. And so it's inevitable that these sort of things are happening. And it's really amazing that it hasn't hit the on-court basketball product. You know, you had Festus leave and Mo Buckets, et cetera, JaVale, but none of the core guys. It'll be interesting to see when that inevitably happens, how they respond.
The relationship between the players and the doctor, it's something a lot of fans, a lot of media members, we don't know about that. You've lived it. You and Dr. Chow,
still
head
team friends.
Physician in San Diego, he was friends with a lot of you guys. You guys are still very close to this day. No. I mean, what's this going to mean for a lot of these guys?
It means a lot. I'm telling you, trainers, they know so many things about you. They're great people. I mean, shoot, I remember Dr. Charlie Brown down in New Orleans, and then also Dean.
Old Charlie Brown.
Old Charlie had fingers like longer than banana fingers. I tell you, have nightmares even thinking about old Charlie Brown. Because back in the day, you had to bend over and touch your toes, and Charlie would take care of you. And you was like, God, Charlie, why?
He treat you
why?
Right?
Oh, no, not right. Man,
just treat you.
Yeah,
more to the left.
Exactly. Yeah, and then give you a hat and a shirt and say thank you for your time. God,
and don't forget the copay on your way out.
Right, and Dean was also the team doctor for the Saints. So I know these guys. You know I'm very. It's because you're intimate with a lot of these guys. They know things about you, your health condition, different things about it. Dr. Elroy with the Titans, you know, Dr. Chow. I remember so many of these trainers because you spend so many hours in there trying to get well, trying to get healthy, do different things that you go through, you know, in your career. So without a doubt, they're going to miss Chelsea. See, I flew back yesterday with the incumbent, you know, trainer. And we talked about, we were sitting together talking on the way back. And he was talking about Boogie Cousins that he's in Vegas, got a place there. So he was rehabbing him and was there for that. And he said, dude, he's got no time off because of the fact now, you know, you step into that role and hiring different people. So it's tough when you lose your head trainer and especially a good one like they lost.
So you're on the flight doing work, building relationships, getting intel. Dibs and I were in the airport just pounding beers.
Oh, boy.
Oh, I believe.
Jeez.
Shout out beers.
Yeah, shout out.
Shout them out, yeah. Every now and again, shout out the
soothing
beers.
Your pain after a loss.
Boy.
That'll be addressed. Oh, don't Please. Worry. That will be addressed. I mean, we have to. It's what we do around here.
I deserve all of that and more. I mean, I almost called in sick today, but then I remembered you can't do that. You can't come off a Vegas trip and then call in sick, no matter how badly you are emotionally wounded.
You do get quite emotional during soccer games. Any close chance, you hear him. You can hear him. Yeah, that's it. And you can hear that at full volume from about 10 gates down the terminal. The first time he let it out in about minute three, I was like, whoa. Is this what I'm going to be in for the rest of this game?
Because
it's a long soccer game.
When he's got a little skin in the game, I've seen him. He's calling guys, you idiot. I've watched him do
that. Oh, yeah. Everyone was a bum, and they were all trash in the final 20 minutes of that game.
And he gives you the stink eye that look like, what's wrong with – he's looking at these guys like they can actually seem like, what's wrong with you?
Oh, bums.
Yeah, such a bum.
Joe, he's so right. I didn't know he was listening.
Oh, my God.
You know, you start just running your mouth because you think you're watching the game alone.
I don't even say nothing.
You pick up on others' tendencies when you know that they're invested like that, and we all have them. It's I sit there, and with the Super Bowl this year, I had my arms crossed. I can't sit down during games like that. And it was like the second play of the game, Torrey Smith dropped an out. And it was just 4 minutes of my parents, my in-laws, and my son having to hear me rant about Torrey Smith. And as I'm in this rant, he pulls down this great third down reception, at which time I do a complete 180 and talk about how wonderful he is for the next 4 to 5 minutes. It's completely unreasonable, illogical. It makes no sense. But that's fandom. That's betting. That's just life when you're that invested in sports, whether it be financially or just emotionally. Now, it's time to get invested in sandwiches. Lo Neal. We want your suggestions and very, very encouraging news on Boogie Cousins. All coming up next, Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
All right, light them up. We haven't taken calls in a long time on this program. Today is going to be a very caller-friendly show. The number's 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. Ike from Ike Sandwiches is going to be opening a location in Fresno. He reached out to Low on Twitter yesterday and said he wants to name a sandwich after Low. We need names for the sandwich. We need ideas for the sandwich. 888-957-9570. Now, we're going to jump into all that in just a few moments, but I wanted to break down something our good friend Tom Haberstroh of Bleacher Report threw up yesterday. Tom is a research aficionado. He is fantastic with basketball analysis, and he has spent some significant time researching Achilles heels injuries, much like the one Boogie Cousins sustained last year. Essentially, Haberstroh went back to 1992 when Dominique Wilkins ruptured his Achilles tendon, and he found 19 instances of NBA players rupturing their Achilles tendons since 1992. The average amount of time it took to get back on the court from the day of rupture, 9.8 months. That's the data he's come up with. And essentially what you have from Boogie Cousins suffering the injury on January 27th is when he had the surgery. That puts the timeline to arrive with the Warriors, if he can hit the 9.8-month mark, at November 17th. He would only miss maybe a month of the season, according to Haberstroh.
Yep, and the schedule comes out in about 4 weeks, the NBA schedule release, so we'll know exactly what that would mean games-wise, but you're probably only looking at 8 to 10 games if that timeline holds firm, which seems a little bit aggressive to me, especially in this situation where you don't have to, quote, rush him. But if it was November 17th, all of a sudden, that mid-level deal is looking better and better.
Here's the good news. There are two recent examples. One recent example, I should say, Rudy Gay. When Rudy Gay ruptured his Achilles tendon, he took the surgery on January 19th. So 8 days before Boogie. January 27th was Boogie's surgery date. Rudy Gay's was January 19th. Rudy Gay was ready for the start of the season next year. He played in the first game. So you can come back even earlier. Now, the big question comes down to, even if he is ready to go, do you start playing him right away, or do you say to yourself, look, Boogie, you might be ready at the 9.8-month mark. We're going to make it 10.8 months. Nothing against you. Let's ease into this thing. Hot tub basketball.
Make it 11 months. I mean, you're a bigger fella. You're a big guy. You're a lot of impact, a lot of getting up and down the court, especially the way the Dubs play. He's got to look at this situation and say, what's best for the big fella, for Boogie? To rush Boogie back in 9 months or 10 months, I don't think it behooves him or the organization to do that, to get him back on the court that quick. I think you let this guy train. He gets a lot of practice. He does different things. Of course, they're going to probably put lifts in his shoes, Joe, because that's going to stop him from, you know, dorsiflexing his Achilles too much. So sometimes you can put too much strain on it. But you always want to make sure you're doing other things to preventative stuff. So Boogie's going to have to get his body balanced too, because sometimes you're compensating for something else that could be going on. Could be a knee, could be a hip. Different things out of alignment can also cause different things, other things to end up hurting yourself even worse. So I think this team, you're in a great place. You're the Warriors. You're the best team in basketball. Why rush this guy? Why take chances?
Dr. Chow, your former team doctor in San Diego with the Chargers, when he and I worked together on an NFL media site, he did some extensive work detailing injuries and recovery times. And one thing he always said, and this speaks to what you're saying, if a player injures his right knee, suffers an ACL tear, for example, the biggest concern when he comes back isn't the ACL of the right knee, it's the ACL of the left knee, for exactly what you're saying. The player mentally, emotionally, psychologically, may lean a little bit more on that other leg, maybe a little bit more tentative with the right, so as a result, they put more strain on the left, and it leads to a significant injury of the left knee. It's happened time and time again. So like you're saying, Boogie coming off the rupture of, I don't know, was it his left Achilles? Let's call
yes,
it his left
and
Achilles.
And he's also had a procedure on his right Achilles as well to, I don't know if it's a clean out or what the procedure would be, but he's had it on both sides. So to your point, and also him being a bigger guy, like Lowe says, I would hope that they encourage him to take it out an extra month, and that way he can slowly ease back, get your fitness right, make it so you won't have that imbalance when you return. Because to what, to your point, if you come back too soon and you favor the other side and you've already had a procedure on that side, maybe that becomes more vulnerable to injury.
All right. Let's get down to business because I'm looking down and the phone lines are packed. Here's the topic of conversation. We need your help. We're going to do this throughout today's show. Yesterday on Twitter, Ike from Ike Sandwiches made the announcement he is going to open a location in Fresno soon. He wants to name a sandwich after Lowe. This is remarkable news, but we need your help. We've got to work towards the name of the sandwich. We could go with The Lorenzo Neal. I think that's a beautiful name.
It fits.
And what should the sandwich be? 888-957-9570. Now, Anna, will you be scoring these options? Because we're going to need someone to keep track. Because if we eventually settle on a sandwich choice or a name choice brought to us by the people, then we're going to reward them with an autographed Fresno State helmet. We decided this morning that Dibs would autograph a Fresno State helmet, and we would be giving that away as the prize.
Yeah, because I've been to Fresno State. Fresno State broke my heart, Coach. 1991, Bobby Jones.
Actually, Lowe's going to autograph it.
Makes more sense.
And we're going to hook you up if you're able to help us.
So, Bobby.
Before we turn it over to the people, this is quite the honor. This is quite the honor. And I think it's really cool when I saw this on Twitter yesterday, which is why I wanted to talk about it today. Any suggestions for you?
You know what? It's interesting. I think it's pretty cool. But you just, the smile, you can't wait to get into what people are coming up with. I think that's more of the excitement. I get that. I get the sense that you're just really excited about the beautiful people, the beautiful text line, and the callers that are going to call in and give us these wonderful,
very good, Marilyn.
These wonderful names that I'm looking forward to hearing.
I think we're just trying to share in the joy of having somebody to be so honored in our presence 5 days a week. It truly is a special, special show.
Yeah, I love these topics because it brings out the most creative stuff from people. When you can take this to the people, when you can crowdsource it and you can throw it out there, you come up with some really great ideas and some really funny stuff too. That's why I love these topics. There's stuff we talk about on this show that we forget about. For example, one thing, Moonbase 8. For anyone who remembers the Moonbase 8 stuff, Hank, come back in about 3 hours today around 9:40. We've got big news on Moonbase 8. Big news. But for now,
great tease.
Just off the top of your head, the Lorenzo Neal. If it was to be called the Lorenzo Neal, what would it be made of?
You know what? One, if it was called, I would think I would be low. I want to assimilate like a football too, with maybe the low fullback special or something, because of the fact it is, I want it to be that every man sandwich, that meaty sandwich. Of course, it's going to have everything's better with a little bit of ham and turkey. So ham and turkey is going to be the two that's going to be the must on that, as far as when we're talking about the protein. Of course, you're going to have lettuce. And of course, you're going to have some cheese. Love cheese. And I'm going to go with
what kind of cheese? Any particular
pepper jack.
Pepper jack.
Absolutely. A little pepper jack.
Spicy.
Yeah, a little spicy. And definitely tomatoes. And you know what? I got to think about some other things. I'd love to get the listeners and see what they're thinking as well.
Let's turn it over to the people. Jeremy in Santa Rosa. Jeremy, thank you for the phone call. The name of the Lo'Neal sandwich, what should be on the Lo'Neal sandwich, your thoughts?
All right, so first things first, Lo, I got to tell you, man, I love you. You're my favorite guy on this program. So with that being said, since it's all out of love, we got to blast you. So here's what I'm thinking. Let's make it some sort of French dip sandwich with double meat because, you know, you got to have a lot of meat on there. You got a lot of meat on those bones. But the part of the French dip is to bring in the soup into this. Here's a couple of names for you, or a couple ideas. So I'm thinking double meat, maybe do like a beef and a pork, because, you know, we're talking about pig farming and stuff like that, or maybe put some bacon on it. And then I'm thinking two names, Root Hog or Die, or Cannibal.
What did he say was the second one? What was the second one, Jeremy?
You missed the uptick. I said Cannonball.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.